Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given great and precious promises to those who believe. Grant us the perfect faith which overcomes all doubt through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those with sense, she says, come, eat of my bread. Drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 34 responsibly. Fear the Lord, you that are his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing that is good. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who among you loves life and desires long life and joy and prosperity? Keep your tongue from evil speaking and your lips from lying words. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. This invitation from the book of Proverbs reminds me of an invitation that was extended to me and to a number of my friends in Jerusalem in 2001. I was on a study tour in Israel with my Hebrew Old Testament professor from the seminary. And it was a wonderful gift to be able to take this trip. On this particular day, I was in a small gift shop museum. If you've ever been in the Holy Land, you know that there is a gift shop and a museum on every corner at every turn. It will sell anything at all places. Well, this shop was to be a meeting place for our group. So I had been there for a little while, waiting for the others to gather, and I struck up a conversation with the owner curator of this museum, who was able to speak English, thanks be to God, so I was able to communicate. We were having this conversation. I learned many interesting things about that part of the old city. When Dr. Luker came in, he greeted this gentleman as an old friend, and I realized that this place was always on the study tour, and they were on this regular every year meeting each other. The gentleman then invited Dr. Luker and his friends to come home with him for supper that night. And Dr. Luker said, well, maybe you should check with your wife before you bring home a dozen or more people for dinner in, 3 or 4 hours. And he said, oh, no, that's all right. She's already in the kitchen. It won't matter. A few more people, it's all right. She's already in the kitchen. Well, but later that evening, two taxi vans arrived at our hotel, driven by young men that we later found out were the sons of our host. And we climbed into these vans. It was two, each had a driver who spoke no English, and started to realize how risky this trip was. The Intifada had started several months before, and all of a sudden I got nervous. What if they're terrorists, and now they're happy? They have a whole van full of American citizens. That was not the concern. After about 3 minutes into the trip, the real concern was careening down the streets of Jerusalem, no street lights, no traffic signals. If there were traffic signals, they certainly didn't pay any attention to them. And going who knows where with who knows who to someone's home that I don't know anything more about, it was quite an adventure, to say the least. We arrived unscathed and were later taken back to our hotel without any trouble either. The meal in the home was served in a typical Palestinian style. We sat on the floor like you would have a picnic and ate our meal, the guests in the room, with the serving being done by the young men of the family. The women and the girls were in the kitchen. We saw them peeking out occasionally. At the end of the meal, the husband went and brought his wife to be introduced. And that was the only woman we saw, except for the 4-year-old daughter who came out and did a dance for us. They shared everything they had with us. It was a wonderful experience. They had even traveled to the West Bank to get a special kind of fruit that they wanted to serve to us for that evening meal. And that trip would be a very risky journey for them, even with the right papers. I learned some profound truths that night. Not only is it possible to eat chicken and rice with your fingers, but more seriously, I learned the deeper truth that true hospitality does not know any lines of culture or religion. What is it that Jesus wants us to know and to learn from the meal that he has invited us to share? The book of Proverbs has an invitation that says, "Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight. First we eat and drink, and then we understand. First we eat, and then we have insight. Wisdom, the feminine manifestation of the divine, offers food that can bring true life. She encourages the people of God to choose her offerings over those of foolishness, a theme that St. Paul continues in his letter to the Ephesians. This part of his letter, the guidelines for Christian conduct, Paul cautions against overindulgence, which he associates with immaturity. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. By this eating and drinking, we are, according to the letter to the Ephesians, transformed from foolishness to understanding, from debauchery to being filled with the Spirit. Notice how that transformation happens. It's as the eating and drinking is taking place. That seems to kind of contradict the normal practice of catechesis and education for the learner who would be preparing for these mysteries to come. Perhaps this is also true to baptism, as these extraordinary claims that Jesus makes for this meal that we are invited to share in his very body and blood. Now, most of us were probably baptized as infants or children when we could not begin to understand what God was doing in making us the precious children of God. And yet, understanding or not, we are God's precious children through baptism. And now, in this meal, the great mystery, we receive something that nourishes us, strengthens us, permeates us, changes us with no turning back, bringing us to that point where we will sometime discern, however dimly here on earth, that this meal has the true host, the true host of this meal is God himself. We eat this bread and drink this wine trusting that God is present, but we don't understand how. The word mystery is a good word. In one of our Eucharistic prayers, we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. In looking at these three phrases, we can deepen our understanding of how Christ is with us in this meal. Christ has died. We believe that Christ is with us as the Christ of memory. In the meal, the death of Christ is proclaimed. We remember that it is by his broken body and poured out blood that Jesus Christ that God chooses to save the world. By eating and drinking, we participate in that saving death. We pray Christ is risen. We believe that Christ is with us as the Christ of the present. In this meal, Christ is present. He is God with us, Emmanuel, the living word forgiving our sin, calling us to give up our ties to things that would hold us back from his love, nourishing us for discipleship. Jesus is the host of this meal, and he feeds us with his own body so that we might be his body in the world. The bread of life for life. The body of Christ for the body of Christ. We pray Christ will come again. We believe that Christ is with us as the Christ of the future. In the meal, we are given a foretaste of the feast to come, the great banquet in the coming kingdom of God. The future breaks into the present, and we get a glimpse of that coming day when all creation will be united under the lordship of Christ. We call this meal by many different names, and those names give us an idea of different aspects of this meal, of this sacrament that we share. We say Eucharist, which is the Greek word meaning thanksgiving. We say that because we eat and drink in a spirit of thanksgiving. The whole meal is a great thanksgiving for creation and for creation's redemption in Jesus Christ. We say Holy Communion because in this community that is established by the Holy Spirit, we encounter Christ and we are formed into one body with him and with one another. We say the Lord's Supper because this is the meal which the risen Lord holds with the whole church, the meal that is held on the Lord's Day, a foretaste of the feast to come. Sunday by Sunday, the risen Lord comes to us as God in flesh, hidden in ordinary food and drink of this world. What does it mean that we are invited to this meal? We've not earned this invitation. Even though we are the precious children of God, we have not earned this invitation. Our extravagant host has offered us the ultimate gift, his very self. And we begin to understand that a small wafer of bread and a drop of wine can fill us totally. This meal satisfies our deepest hungers, quenches our deepest thirst. When was the last time you were really thirsty? Maybe it was last week one day when you were out for a walk and the day turned out to be a little bit warmer than you had anticipated. Or maybe it's right now. You could hardly wait to get back to your water bottle and deeply satisfy that thirst. Think about your hunger. Unless you're on some special diet, you probably have never experienced real hunger, as it is too well known by people in our world, in our own country, and even in our own city. But we have other longings, hungers within us. The heart aches for an absent love, or the heart breaks over the death of a spouse or a child, or the heart longs for a companion to share our daily rounds. The truth is, we are filled with needs, and our life is packed with fulfilling those needs. We have a whole hierarchy of needs that insist that we look for what is lacking, that we search for it, crave for it, food, water, safety, love, different urgencies, each waiting for an answer. But beneath all of these hopes and wants and desires, mixed up with these yearnings, sits quietly the deepest longing for a relationship with God. Every human person has that deep longing for a relationship with God, whether we know it consciously or not. God is in us. We're looking for that relationship. We have a need for, a desire for that relationship with God, because God is the only one who can satisfy our deepest needs and nourish our deepest desires. Sometimes we settle for substitutes, fast food, superficial relationships, artificial beauty. But these do not satisfy in the long run, and we're left still hungry, yearning for more, wanting, seeking. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight. Lady Wisdom, in this reading from the book of Proverbs, urges us to stop thinking that life is going to make sense if we just fill it up with stuff and forget the deepest needs of our hearts, which is the closeness to God, and through God, closeness to others, to the body of Christ. Jesus gives us the ultimate food and drink, the most simple gift of all, bread that is his body, wine that is his blood, broken for us, poured out for us. We eat this bread which Jesus calls true food, and drink this wine that Jesus calls true drink. This is the bread, this is the wine that can satisfy our desires. This is the food, this is the drink that holds the promise of eternal life. I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Amen.